Hello and welcome to the World Cup Minute. My name is Josh. I'm here with my old buddy Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm great. Anybody watching on YouTube will say, wow, this setup is kind of crazy. And it's because it's one of the biggest holidays in America today. It's Thanksgiving.
Yep.
I'm at Josh's house. Thank you for hosting me for Thanksgiving dinner, by the way.
We've 19 people here. It's pretty chaotic right now.
We just had a lovely dinner, and we were saying before we started recording, what do we have to talk about in today's World Cup Minute? Well, we finished today, Thursday, November 24th, the first round of group matches, which means, a la Thanksgiving, the table is now set for the rest of the group stage. So I feel like the first phase of group play is defined by what are we going to get from these teams? Right. What are their lineups going to look like? Who's in good form? Who's out to lunch?
Yep.
And now going into the second phase, there are actual stakes. Now we're trying to figure out who's ready to advance from the group. So, what did we learn today? I mean, did you learn anything?
Yeah. Well, I mean, why don't we just go through the matches and talk about what we learned from each of them? I think the Switzerland Cameroon played out, I'd say, roughly as I expected. You got the rare non-celebration goal from an international team player. I feel like that's not so common. Often you get that, you know, a player. I don't know, he's on loan at another club, and he scores in that club, and he doesn't, you know, whatever.
I went through the Aston Villa Academy, but now I play at Arsenal, so I never celebrate a goal against Aston Villa out of respect. But when you get to the international stage, for a large part, you know, your nationality is your nationality. You're not, unless you're Declan Rice or Jack Grealish, you're not playing for multiple nations. But so what happened in the Switzerland?
Yeah, well, Mbolo scores.
Or so, Cameroon, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so Cameroon was really on top in the first half of that match. Wasn't able to, it's very similar to the Canada game, actually, honestly. It was, you know, where Canada was really on top versus Belgium and then ultimately lost 1-0. And that's exactly what we saw today. Switzerland, just that little, you know, that I'm gonna call the whole team. I'm gonna call the power cube, Brandon. You know that Switzerland is a little power cube, and they, you know, Mbolo scores in the 48th minute, doesn't celebrate because he was born in Cameroon. So just sort of an interesting.
He moved to Switzerland when he was 5 years old, and this is like not to just like harp on this too much, or not harp, but just talk about it for too long. International football is really interesting in a globalized world where people aren't just born in one country and then live there and have an allegiance. People are born places and then can move there and feel like they can be.
Is that true?
Yeah, no, it's true. You're allowed to leave America if you choose, Josh. But I just find that idea very interesting and in some ways romantic about how you can, you know, you can be in one place and then find yourself in another and suddenly feel like you are that new place. And I think that's a cool thing to be celebrated.
So Switzerland, this team just has second place in the group stage written all over them. It kind of almost didn't matter what group they were in. They were destined to get second place in the group stage, and I still think that's probably going to be the case with them. So they play to a 1-0 draw. Certainly look like they have the advantage. And then we move on to Uruguay, South Korea, which is the second match today. The match I was most personally excited about. I got up 8 a.m. U.S. time. I was really excited. I put it on. We've got family in town. And I was like, no. This is the game. You're going to love it. Darwin Nunez, Luis Suarez, Son. You know, Son's got the Batman mask on, you know, because of the eye injury. And, you know, I was just super excited about it. And then we ultimately get a 0-0 draw. Really not very entertaining. I'd say it's honestly one of the least entertaining matches of the World Cup so far. Quite surprisingly.
Surprise pop-in guest.
And right at the end of that match, you had big scoring chances for both sides. I can't remember who it was for Uruguay now. I know this is a bad podcast.
It was the Real Madrid player whose name escapes me, but he is he is like the Ruben Neves of La Liga. Roofs shots from 25 yards out on the regular. It's true. And I thought that was you could tell, I mean, obviously, it's not like you could tell. You knew there were players of really high quality on both Uruguay and South Korea, but ultimately every ball was a little too long, every touch was a little too poor, which ultimately led the match to feel blah. It was not a great match. But I think my overriding feeling coming out of it was, okay, both of these teams, frankly, have a lot to offer. And if they take that performance today, each of them, and tighten it up a little bit, both Uruguay and South Korea could definitely... Ghana particularly, which will take us to Ghana and Portugal, I think could be in trouble going against either of these teams.
It's a really wide open group, right? Uruguay and South Korea share a group with Portugal and Ghana, which is the match it was on. It feels like that this is how they've done. I don't know why it's been structured this way. It feels like you've often had the first two teams in the group play the first match and then the other two teams play. I don't know if it's because they're like the featured games that day or whatever, but Portugal and Ghana played with a 3-2 win. I actually missed the fifth goal in that game, the 89th minute goal from Bakari.
Yeah, I saw it and it was... it was a garbage time goal. Portugal totally switched off. And for anybody who watches the Premier League regularly, you'll be used to seeing João Cancelo switching off right around the 90th minute. Because Josh and I and our day podcast jobs, when it's not World Cup, is Fantasy Premier League. Uh-huh. How many clean sheets with Manchester City have I lost because João Cancelo gets roasted at some point when the game has already won?
It's a weird team. Yeah. I mean, that game was strange. You have the aging superstars on both squads. I mean, I'll go ahead and call Andre Ayew a superstar for Ghana. I don't know if he's quite, he's not at Asamoah Gyan levels, but certainly he had some amazing moments. He was terrific, for a while there for Swansea and some other clubs. But anyway, you have, Ronaldo basically dived to win the pen, which is fine. Like, people get so mad about diving to win a pen, but this is just how football is played. Like, it's just not anything to get overly upset about.
Hate the player, hate the game.
I feel like I've moved past my frustration at dives for pens. This is what, I mean, this, Bale did it. Was it Messi that won the pen in that Argentina match? I can't remember. But, this is just what veteran players and veteran teams do, is they'll look for any opportunity to sell a foul in the box. And so I think, but really it was. I mean, Ronaldo was that's all he can kind of do now, it feels like, you know. And ultimately it was a win for Portugal. I didn't necessarily come away thinking, oh, yeah, this team's got what it takes, to get farther than the quarterfinals.
Yeah, I agree. And Ronaldo actually was clean through on goal right before he was subbed off and tried to chip the Ghanaian keeper and failed, which is kind of what we're used to seeing from him in his new Manchester, or now former second era of Manchester United. And then I guess the one thing that I should have noted with Ghana's second goal, which was ultimately meaningless, was the guy who scored it then did the Ronaldo Sue celebration. And you're kind of like, well, sure, you've got... ultimately, you look kind of like a jerk doing that, and even though you're a goal that doesn't bring a result to Ghana, but anytime you get a chance to put your finger in the eye of a global superstar, why not take it?
It's just like wasting valuable time, You score in the 8th minute, you gotta grab the ball, run it to the center circle. That's what you're supposed to do there. So ultimately, it's a little bit like the Belgium match yesterday, where even if they looked a little scrappy and maybe we don't know what to think, they got the 3 points. So Portugal should be safe. And that team is absolutely loaded with Premier League talent. I'm not saying the Premier League is the only league that matters, but there's just a lot of players that we can sort of personally,
the player that probably emerged the most from Portugal, though, was a La Liga player in João Félix.
Sure.
So I think he is the one to watch.
And kind of continuing this youth movement, right? Mm-hmm. Like with Spain, we talked about yesterday, and some of the young players in Germany as well. And so I love it. Like, it's every time someone like João Félix scores a goal, it's just I don't know. It's just like, this is what I want to be seen in this World Cup. Like, World Cup is where the World Cup is where stars are made. Yeah. Right, not to sound like a Nike ad, but like this is where we find the next generation of stars. I mean, James Rodriguez never quite got there, but man, that World Cup made him a star, right?
Sure.
8 years later, he's still like a household name for even casual football fans because of what he did in that 2014 World Cup. So let's see if one of these guys can. A lot of these young players have kind of set the table, right, for like a superstar performance. Yeah, they can knocked in that early goal or have a great performance.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
And this is a segue into the final match of today, which was Brazil-Serbia with Richarlison.
Yeah. Richarlison Brace.
having broken into the starting 11, which, I think that was, for me, a question mark. And he took it. The first goal was fortunate. The ball rebounded from the keeper to him, and he did take that chance. And the second goal will be in every highlights package from the Qatar World Cup. It was absolutely stunning. It was somewhere between a scissor and a bicycle kick. So, Josh, every day you creep closer and closer to your dream goal.
We'll get there, Pop, as Michael Corleone says at the end of Godfather.
This was a heartbreaker for me because I'm not much of a sports gambler, but I was feeling festive because of the holiday today. And as my wife and I were walking to your house, it was like 10 minutes before the kickoff of Brazil-Serbia, and I threw $25 down on Mitrovic, anytime goal scorer. And
yeah, see, you'll learn through these losses that when you're feeling festive, you throw like $10 on, you know?
Serbia struggled here, they did, and I guess, they're going up against the tournament favorites. I just feel like even though Brazil are tournament favorites, looking at that lineup, looking at how creaky and aged some of their defenders are, particularly the central defense, this Brazil team could get got at. And even though Serbia didn't land a glove on them, I feel like the match will come where Brazil is really challenged in this group.
Well, with that said, right, another strong win for them. It feels like one game in, we kind of have seen a few contenders really emerge, right? France, England, Brazil, maybe those three most of all. So, that leads us right into, well, first of all, any kits that shone for you today? Any really stand out to you?
Yeah, we were a little downbeat on the Uruguay-South Korea performance, but the kits stood out. And I think
good kit battle.
It's an exhibit A of just go simple. And Uruguay, no, they've got this iconic powder blue, cornflower blue, whatever you want to. There's probably a special name for the Uruguayan blue. Yep. They don't fuss it up too much. The collar on the kit was good. It looked beautiful. And then going up against South Korea's away kit, which is like what we like about what you were saying about Morocco yesterday or the Dutch when they wear their all orange. Something to be said about wearing a uniform color from shirt to shorts to socks. And South Korea pulled that off. I thought their like bright, like traffic cone orange was working pretty well for them.
Strong. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into tomorrow's matches then. We've got these are the second games for both groups A and B. We have, of course, England, United States at 2. Let's kick things off. I mean, that's what people are. I feel like many people listening to this podcast will be most interested in. My feeling about England, United States is basically, if this were England, like Cameroon or something, are we better than like a Cameroon level squad? Really? I don't really know. It's not that I'm being pessimistic here. I just want to be
realistic.
I guess I always want to be realistic. It's like, realistic without being pessimistic. I want to go into it thinking, we shouldn't win this game, but maybe we could, So let's say that, and I'm going right into the we here, Brandon, but let's say that we found a way to win. Let's say we're recording this tomorrow evening. The match is over. We have won, What went right? What went right for – it's easy to map out what went right for England. Better defense, better forwards, better midfields, better coaching, right?
Yep. I think that what the answer you're searching for there is the midfield. This game is probably going to be won or lost for the United States in the midfield. I believe our wide players with Destin Robinson, they're fast enough and athletic enough to, you know, on their day compete. But if Weston McKennie, Tyler Adams, if Musa starts again, they're going to have their work cut out for them. And if they can, at the end of the day, spend more time controlling the football than chasing England's midfield around, then that is what we'll probably be celebrating if the U.S. win. Now, you know, that will be the hardest thing to do. The second hardest thing for the U.S. to do will be to finish any opportunity we have, because we, you know, we don't have, like, the purest finishers in our attack.
Hoping Reyna gets in tomorrow.
I agree. And it was said that I think Reyna came out and said, I could have played in the match against Wales. But he did not.
They all say that.
We're constantly giving Berhalter the short shrift. Maybe he knew we've got to eke by this Wales match and then go just full on against England and bring out some surprises. And that could be Reyna. Yeah. And I'd love to see that.
Well, it's the last match of the day. So, you know, sorry to give England short shrift here, but it's kind of easy to see where England could win if they do. But we'll kind of know really what the stakes are after, by the time the first match of the day is concluded, because Wales and Iran play. Yeah. And if Wales, you know, dominates Iran the way England did, then the U.S. really has to try to, at the very least, not lose by too much in tomorrow's match. If Iran if it draws, or if Iran is able to pull out a win, which I don't think is impossible given what we've seen from some of the Middle Eastern countries in this World Cup so far, even given all the situation, like all the situation Iran right now, I think that and just how that may be affecting the players, I do think that like a Wales 2-1 win would actually give me some hope as a U.S. fan, right? Because I would think, okay, 2-1, sure, that's a win, but we could outdo that number when we play them, you know? And so I think that's so we'll really know the stakes in that match. And as far as the Wales-Rans goes, I mean, it just kind of depends on what Wales we see. If it's first half Wales, then they're in trouble. If it's second half Wales, then they should win 2-0 or something like that.
Possibly, you have to be really worried if you're a Welsh supporter, how they played in that first half, as you say, against the U.S., so you could just, you know, we've only seen one match from all of these teams now in the World Cup.
Yep.
So it seems harsh to then say, well, this team just didn't show up.
Yep.
But based on the evidence that we have, you could put Wales in this camp of they weren't ready. They didn't show up. And and Iran has every chance of getting a result here. But
So then we've got Qatar hosting Senegal. That's at 8 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow. We'll see if we see a stronger version of Qatar than we saw on Sunday.
I'm not betting on it. Yeah. As suggested, I'm not the skilled sports bettor, but I will definitely not be placing a bet on Qatar. And, you know, Qatar is ranking pretty high in my Schadenfreude matrix right now.
I know. I feel, but it's, you know, it's, I feel bad for the, well, I mean, even the players are mostly not from, you know, so, and often I feel like, you know, it's like with Saudi Arabia, it was like, we sort of made the argument that, like, listen, those fans and those players are all, you know, diehards. And so I don't want whatever's happening at the top of the kind of political chain to influence how I feel about, you know, them. But
collateral damage in a way.
Yeah, but with Qatar, they are just messing things up too much. It's the anti-sports watching campaign. I'm kind of come out with this with the worst opinion of Qatar that I had going in.
Yep.
So they're hosting Senegal. Senegal, I mean, the question for them is just can they score, right? And can they, without Mane? And I think Senegal probably do win this match. I don't know how much they win it by. And it's actually probably pretty important because if that's a draw or if Qatar wins, then Netherlands and Ecuador are probably straight through to the next round. And so that's the final game on Friday. That's actually a pretty fun match, I think. Netherlands host Ecuador. There is a little bit of concern about Valencia. That this injury that he was on the ground. They should have taken him off at halftime, right? He was on the ground like the same knee injury like four times in that match on Sunday. So if Valencia doesn't play, I think they're really in trouble, especially if Memphis Depay is finally able to play a full 60 minutes. I mean, we'll see. I mean, the first match was just 5 days ago, so it's hard to say whether it's enough time for him to recover.
I think it's a tasty matchup, though, because Netherlands, we did not see the best of them in their first match, even though they came out with what looks like on paper a resounding 2-0 win.
Yeah.
I think they will be motivated, as you say, Depay coming back, to come out and show what their real intentions are for the World Cup. And then Ecuador, I don't know. It depends. One side of the Ecuadorian coin is if there are Ecuadorian coins. I'm sure they have fiat in Ecuador.
I'm sure they have
physical coins.
Yeah.
Would be, hey, we had our moment in the spotlight and the tournament opener. We played well. People always remember that. Let's kind of just like bask in the sunlight.
I don't know why.
No team would ever do that. I guess you could find yourself as the Ecuadorian team in that situation where, like, say the Netherlands gets an early goal. And you're just kind of like put on your back foot. And
you're like, let's just get out of this with a 1-0 loss, right?
Yeah, they'll go into reverie mode.
Enough to go through. Yeah.
Yeah, or Ecuador knows that people aren't taking that performance against Qatar in the opener very seriously because Qatar was so poor, relatively speaking. And they will want to come out and make a bigger statement. And I hope that Valencia is healthy because I think if he is, then this becomes, a better narrative and will probably be a better match.
It's a little bit like the U.S. match where Ecuador will kind of know what they need to do. Because that Qatar-Senegal match is first, right? And if that's a draw, then Ecuador is looking extremely good heading into their final match. So that's Friday's matches. Obviously really excited about the U.S. match. That's the final game of the day. And it's the World Cup. They're all kind of exciting. It's funny. I mean, there's just not a single one that I don't have some kind of interest in tracking or paying attention to. So, we've seen everybody play once. Let's see what happens if everybody plays twice. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks, everybody. And if you're American, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.